more or less. I just kind of paraphrased that. And so I was like, well, what if it's from the Bible? You know, what if it's, you know, it's from John 15, like one of the greatest prayers ever written. And he's like, you might want to tell people about that. You know, I want to tell them. So this is from John 15. and it's not only the greatest prayer ever written, it's written for you. And it was written for me. It's written for all of us together. And so I want us to say this together, because when we say this together, it becomes a community thing. It becomes a thing that involves us all. And that's a beautiful thing. So let's say this together, okay? Lord, may we all be one, just like God is in Jesus and Jesus is in God. May we be in God and Jesus so that the world would believe in Jesus. May we be in complete unity so that the world would know the love of God. And may we make the world known and loved by God, because Jesus knows and loves us. Amen. You can have a seat.
Now, I know that it's really unusual that people would do something besides listen to me when I'm preaching, but this morning you have the freedom to fill out your card while I'm preaching if you'd like to this morning. So don't feel bad. I will not feel bad if that's what you're doing. Also, I'd like to, I hadn't thought about this, but the fact that the staff gives you goodies on the day that you make your pledge to pay our salaries, I'm not sure how that works exactly or what that plan was, but that's the plan. So a bribe can't hurt, I guess, is the bottom line there, if the food's good. So enjoy yourselves. You know, some things are obvious in life, and some things are not as obvious. For instance, it seems to me that the fact that high heels hurt seems obvious. I've never worn them, but it looks like, that I will admit to, I've never worn them, but it you know, your posture's weird, your foot's not supported, you know, it just has to hurt. That's one of those things. It seems to be obvious. Cats ignore you. That's obvious. They hear you. They know their name. They just don't care. That's pretty obvious. Bad food is bad for you. I hate that one. I've tried to disprove it. But the truth is, if you eat unhealthy food, you're going to be unhealthy. Nothing around it. Some things are obvious. And it seems like if there are things that are obvious in this life, that God's will for us would be one of those things, right? That it would be pretty clear what we're supposed to do and where it is that God is at work, and that we can recognize that and step into it. But it's not always clear, is it? And you know, there's this, you know, the saying, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And that's kind of cool, but for me, that's kind of confusing, because it seems like that implies that there's one specific thing that Jesus would do in this situation. I should know what it is he would say in this conversation. And the truth is that I don't think that's always true. And that when I stop and try to figure out what is that one thing he wants me to do, or what is that specific thing he wants me to say, I end up not doing anything, waiting until I know for sure. And so I think maybe the better question is, what are the kinds of things that Jesus does? What are the things that are the general things that he's interested in, that he cares about, that I can step into, that I can be involved in? I've been thinking about this week, and you've probably heard me say this idea that I believe that God invites us to participate in what he's doing. This idea that we kind of can recognize what God is doing in some areas, or we think this is what God is doing, and so we have the opportunity to participate in that. And I think that's true, but I think it's also true, and maybe more true, that we're not just invited to participate, but to also collaborate, to be not just involved in the practice, but to figure out ahead of time what it is that God wants to do, to look around, to think about our own lives, and think, what is it in my life that God would want to do? What's the kind of thing that he might do in my life? Or look in our church and think, What's the kind of thing that Jesus would care about us becoming or doing? Or look in our world and think, you know, not what is the specific place that God may want me to act, but what kinds of things is He doing and what kind of things does He care about so that I can step into those and be part of them? And so that gives us a lot more leeway. Of course, it also opens us up to getting it wrong sometime. But you know what? That's okay. It's okay when we get it wrong occasionally. Think about this story that we've been talking about for this year. There are a lot of times when they got it wrong. But God continued to invite them into that story and to allow their choices to have integrity and have impact. I mean, we need to take our choices in the places where we give our lives seriously because they do have impact on those around us. But when we act out of a heart to be faithful to the things that God cares about, I believe that God helps us along. If you think about when they built the tabernacle in the Old Testament. I mean, they had really specific directions down to what it was to be made out of, the measurements down to they didn't use inches, but down to whatever it was they used. And they had specific places where they were supposed to put everything. And they had specifics about the clothes that the priest was supposed to wear, what it was made out of, and the tassels and all the accessories that went with it. You know, all that stuff was, if you read in the Old Testament, there are chapter after chapter after chapter about how specific those things are supposed to be. And God invited them to participate by doing all those things, creating them and building them, putting them together in the tabernacle. But then when they built the temple, which was, you know, the tabernacle was the tent that they carried around in the desert, and the temple was the permanent structure that they built in Jerusalem. When it came to that, we don't have nearly all that detail. Because I think that was something that David desired to do. He said, what's the kind of thing that God would want? He said, you know, I've got a house that I live in, and I like that. And God wants to dwell with His people. So I believe that God would like a dwelling of His own. God didn't initiate the building of the temple. David looked around and he said, what can we do for God? What would He want? I believe He would want to dwell in our midst. That He would want to know that He is welcome here forever. A permanent place where He can always be in our midst. And God blessed that. And we don't have those detailed instructions. And so they kind of took what was in the tabernacle and took what they had and what they could see and what they could envision. And, you know, at that time they had a lot of gold. So they used a lot of gold because it was important to them and it was precious and it was beautiful. And they took craftsmen who were skilled in what they did, and they made this beautiful temple for God to dwell in their midst. They collaborated with God. And I think that there's a lot of time in our lives where that's what we have the opportunity to do. But we sit back and we wait for God to tell us. And, you know, that sounds pretty good, and it is good for God to tell us what to do. But I think there's also this sense that God gives us the opportunity to collaborate, to say, you know, here's a place where I think God cares about this. What can we do about that? Here's a place where God seems to be at work. How can I participate in that? And so when we come to the story in the book of Acts in chapter 11, the church at Antioch, I think that's kind of what happened there. The church, you know, Jesus has died and He's been risen and He's ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit has come at Pentecost. And then, you know, things go really well. And we don't know that God told them what to do. It's like they just kind of knew the things that were important to Jesus. Care for the poor. Take care of each other. Love one another. Share what you have with the people around you. And that's what they started to do. They started to live in the way that they thought Jesus would live in their moments. They began to care about the things that were important to that they thought would be important to Jesus. And then the persecution starts, and they are scattered out, and they begin to leave. And in chapter 11, it tells us that they went out from Jerusalem, and they began to tell the message to the people they met. They didn't sit down and say, you know, I think we need to go tell people about Jesus. They didn't sit down and say, you know, let's all be missionaries and go out and tell people the good news about Jesus Christ. That's just, they knew that. This was an opportunity for them to share. And it says that they began to go out, and they only told it to other Jews. And then I think it says these guys from Cyprus and Cyrene went down to Antioch, and they began to tell it to Greeks. I think they were walking along, and they thought, you know, here's these Gentiles in front of us who have never been part of the covenant, who have always been outsiders. What would Jesus do in this moment? And they decided that Jesus would tell them that God cared about them. That if Jesus were there, the kind of thing he would do would be to include them. Because he always included outsiders. He always included the outcast. He always invited people. And he didn't just invite them, but he went out to reach out to people who nobody else cared about. And so I think that it was just natural for them to recognize in that moment when those Gentiles were there around them that this is the kind of thing Jesus would do. We don't have anything that says God told them to speak to Gentiles in that moment. Jesus told them to be witnesses to the end of the earth, to make disciples of all nations. But in that moment, there was no direct instruction. Rather, it was, this is the kind of thing Jesus would have us do. And they shared the message of Jesus with them. And the Bible says that the hand of the Lord was with them. It was this collaboration. They saw the kind of thing that Jesus cared about, and they acted on it, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And it says there in chapter 11, it says, some of them, however, from Cyprus and Cyrene went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. And then it tells us this story about Barnabas. It says that the Jewish believers in Jerusalem heard about this thing that was happening down there, and they sent Barnabas down there to check it out. And I don't know what Barnabas' instructions were, but, you know, these Jewish believers back in Jerusalem, I'm sure that they had their questions about whether this was really something God was doing. You know, they kind of thought, well, these Christians down here in Antioch, they're getting a little carried away. We need to kind of reel them back in. And so we're going to send Barnabas down there to check it out. But maybe that's not what they thought. Maybe what they thought was, who knows what God is doing there? This kind of sounds like the thing that God would do. And maybe we can find out from Barnabas exactly what that looks like so that we can be part of it. Because when Barnabas gets down there, it tells us that news of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad, and he encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. They recognized the grace of God at work. Think about your life. Think about our church. Think about our community. Where is it that we see the grace of God at work? I believe that God is at work all the time. Every place, every moment, every person. What are the evidence of grace that we see that we can be part of? Barnabas recognized that God's grace was at work. And he didn't measure it or manage it or market it or try to figure out whether it was good or not. He stepped into that and became part of it. And the result was that a lot of people's lives were changed. And that's kind of what Consecration Sunday is about. It's about recognizing the places where God is already at work and stepping into those and being part of them. But it's also about dreaming about the kinds of things God might do in our community in the future. What are some other things, some other places that we can be involved in what God wants to do in our community? And so we're going to talk about a few of those this morning. I'm going to invite Matthew, if he'd come for just a second. You may or may not know that we did some listening sessions here at Greenwood about what we needed to do and wanted to do. And out of that, we created a Greenwood facilities team to talk about that. And so, Matthew, as you understand it, what was the reason for creating the facilities team?
We want to identify and then prioritize the needs of this facility and what we can do to go forward. We also want to explore the short-term and long-term possibilities, and then take those possibilities and discern what's going to be best to utilize in this place.
Okay. Are there any present needs or future opportunities in specific that have been talked about?
Yeah, well, the one thing that we tried to draw from was for That was you.
Yeah,
good.
Sorry.
We're taking your time away from your jokes, so you have to throw something right.
Thank you for that.
But we tried to take the feedback from the listening session that we had a few months ago here and decide what might be the best time. From the feedback that came back, it was more of we need to focus on our youth and our children, and then try to have some opportunities for everybody to get together. So we're kind of looking at those. Obviously, we have the house, and that's a space that we're trying to decide what can we do with what we have now in the short term that would fit the needs.
Okay. Do you want to talk a little bit? I know there's nothing specific that has been done, but just some of the ideas that have been thrown around.
Of course, the one thing the first time that we met, we talked about the house and how we could use it for possibly Kid Zone. And so we decided, well, let's bring in Kid Zone to see what they would say. Their first thing that they did not want to see happen was to use the house for Kid Zone. So we've talked about maybe exploring the possibility of getting a mobile classroom in to put down at the entranceway. That way they could kind of break off, but they would still be together. We've talked about kind of remodeling the house to use it, that we could use it for potlucks, to have a kitchen, use it for more opportunities for the church to get together. And then the long term, we're looking at, is it something that we can add on to the current building? Is it something that we might need to rebuild? And again, it's just taking everything into consideration to see what's going to be best.
Okay. And just for you personally, are there some areas that you see opportunities that we might have to be part of what God's doing in the church or in our neighborhood out here?
I do. I mean, as the positive thing that we have going for us is, as realtors say, location, location, location.
Right.
So, I mean, we've got so many new places that developments that are coming up between subdivisions, apartment complexes, other subdivisions. So, we need to kind of decide what's going to be best for everybody. And not everybody has the same talents in the church. So, the main thing for us individually is just to be intentional. In our time, our giving, our prayers, whatever we do for the church or the community, just be intentional in what we do.
Okay. Thank you, Matthew. Appreciate it. Okay. All right. I'm going to invite Megan. Right. She's going to help us explore. And so as we think about opportunities and possibilities that we can be part of, there's been a couple of projects at Broadway in the last year that have been a little different. If you want to tell us a little bit about those.
Yes, some of you may know or may have heard back in the spring, Broadway partnered with the Housing Authority in creating Prince of Peace, which is a print shop that we have that's on the west end of town. And so we have folks, we're working with people that live in the Housing Authority district. They get to come in, they get to learn a trade, and then they get to hopefully go out and use that for work for themselves. So that's one thing that we've done. And then actually right now we're working with the Housing Authority again. And we are in the process of creating a mobile grocery. One thing that we learned in working with them, during Wednesdays at Broadway, Abraham Williams came and spoke to the Melrose group about on the topic of race, and it came up, what is something, Adam had asked, what's something that we need, how can we help you? And he said, well, we're in a food desert, our folks don't have groceries. And so through that, we've come into several conversations for the past several months. And one of the things that we learned is that there is a sort of a need for transportation and to get folks groceries. And so we're in the process of starting a mobile grocery that will sort of drive through the areas. And it's like the ice cream truck model. That's what I said. It drives down the street. Everybody comes out, You get your groceries, you walk right back in your house, and it drives on out. And so it's going to be running throughout those neighborhoods, and like several neighborhoods, not just housing authority neighborhoods, but for folks that may have issues with transportation and getting to the grocery store.
Okay. What have been some of the benefits that you've seen for us as a church, not for the community, but for us as a church in working through those things?
You know, I think if you turn around and, like, turn to your left and turn to your right, you will see people that look just like you. And so for me, it has been, and I think for a lot of us, working with the housing authority this year has been a really great opportunity for us to get to be around people that are different from us, whether it's financially, racially, politically to some extent. So it's been super great to just be a little bit more different, mixing it up.
Okay, good. Are you aware of any other areas in, maybe just you personally, or that have been in discussed, things that we might, areas we might be involved in the future? Are there other things?
I don't know about specific, well, there's one thing that's not really, it's more Broadway themed, but this is something that I think you'll hear about, and I thought about this morning. It's that some of our members of the congregation are working to sort of help reinvent our adoption. I don't know what you called it before,
right.
Group, but that's not the right word. But they have called it, it's called FAVE, it's Foster and Adoption Village. And so this is something that our church, just be on the lookout for it, because I think this is super exciting for a way for us to come around one another, for us to come around the kiddos in the community, for us to come around other people in the community for the support and resources that they need. And so just know that in 2019, you will really be hearing about that. So for me, that's super exciting as well. And then just one other thing I would like to say sort of on that personally is that, you know, we partner with certain people. We partner with hotel. We partner with the foundry. We partner with some schools. We partner with mission teams. And then we've been working on these projects with the housing authority. But what I've learned is that people don't have to be a partner for us to get out and do something with them or in the community. So, like, don't think that you have to work with one of the people that Broadway partners with for you to be able to serve. So just look for ways and things that you're interested in, things that are surrounding you, and just plug into them and let us know so that we can maybe get other people plugged into them as well.
Okay, thanks, Megan. Yeah, and I think that that's a really important point, is what we're talking about is not, we're not trying to talk you into being part of what we're already doing. What we're trying to do is encourage you to recognize the places where God is at work, or recognize the needs in our community that God cares about. And, you know, when those ministries come from within the body, they have that, we want to encourage that and support that in seeking the things, the kind of things that God cares about. And there are a lot of those in our community, things you know about that we don't. And so it's not just the partnerships, but it's kind of like Matthew was talking about, in our neighborhood, all these new houses that are going up. If you recognize a way that we can be part of that, one thing that's been talked about is childcare, as people come to this community and they need childcare. Is that something that we can provide? We've talked about different ways that we can be involved in people's lives. How can we do that? And so that's kind of the idea, that the way the church in Antioch impacted their community was just, not just, was ordinary people telling their story. None of them were, they weren't the apostles or the elders. They all stayed in Jerusalem. This was just ordinary people telling their story. None of them were trained theologically. None of them were given specific tasks. They just told their story. They looked for and recognized what Jesus was doing and what he would do, and they became part of it. And so we want to be a people who are turned loose to be the church wherever we are. And we want to support you and encourage you in doing that. And if you recognize a place where God is at work, and lean into that and support it. Giving is one way we do that. You know, the story of the church there at Antioch, it goes on, it says that they were first called Christians at Antioch. And I'm not sure if that's a name they gave themselves. Maybe they said, you know, we want to be like Jesus. We want to follow the Christ, and so we're going to be called Christians. Maybe it was a name the people around them gave them that said, you know, they're always talking about this Jesus Christ, so we'll just call them Christians. But either way, that happened at Antioch first. And then it says at the end of that chapter, there's a story about how the Christians in Jerusalem, the believers in Jerusalem, were suffering because they were being persecuted. There was a famine and they were hungry. And so these outsiders, these Gentiles in Antioch, took up an offering to care for their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. The outsiders took care of the insiders. That's how that works in the kingdom. And so giving is one way that we have the opportunity to participate in what God is doing. And for some people, giving is their gift. It's their joy. It's what they like to do. For all of us, we have the opportunity to give generously. And so we do that this morning. And as you come, we ask that you put those in the basket along with your regular offering for this week. And we're also going to receive communion because it reminds us of God's giving to us. God's greatest desire is that each of us come to know Jesus and that we have a relationship with Him. And He has given His Son in order that we might know Him. And so we're invited to participate with God, to receive His life, and to share what He's doing in our world. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your presence among us and for all the ways that You are active in our world. Help us to recognize those that are obvious and those that are not so obvious. And Lord, help us to be mindful of the things that You care about, the kinds of things that You would want us to do. And give us courage and boldness and generosity of time and spirit and a willingness to risk some things in order that we might be part of what You want to do in our world. As we come to Your table this morning, Father, we ask that You would receive us with grace, fill us with faith, and send us out in Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Yep. Sure. Okay. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You made us in Your image, breathed into us the breath of life, and when we turned away and our love failed, Your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity. You made covenant to be our sovereign God, and You spoke to us through the prophets. And so, with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are You, and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed Him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when You would save Your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, He promised to be with us always in the power of Your Word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which He gave Himself up for us, He took bread. He gave thanks to You. He broke the bread, gave it to His disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." When the supper was over, He took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to His disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is My blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." And so, in remembrance of these Your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Father, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. May your Spirit make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Okay. We'll invite those who are going to help serve this morning to come. Again, as you come, if you'd like to bring your offering, your card with you, and then receive offering, we invite you to come. We all have the opportunity to be part of what God is doing this afternoon. So Some of it we will recognize. Some of it we will say, yes, I want to be part of this. Some of it we will be part of by just being who we are in Jesus. But he invites us to participate in the coming of the kingdom of God on earth. We were created for this. This is what we were made for. Thank you for all that you already are, who you are, and what you do already. I see Jesus in you. Father, we thank you for Jesus, who abides in us and among us, who works to see his kingdom come. We thank you for the opportunities, for the possibilities that are created for us to be part of this work you do. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, to recognize. In Jesus' name, amen.